This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Really and truly, we do live in desperate times. But they can also be wonderful times if we'll all just realize I'm not here just for me. I'm here because God wants to do something, yes, for me, but He also wants to do something through me. Spiritual maturity. I'm going to start with a story that anytime I use this story, I pretty much always close with it. But I thought, I'm going to do it backwards tonight. I'm going to start with it. Sometimes I just like to shake things up a little bit. Amen? A couple went into an antique shop, and they saw a very beautiful, a really beautiful, magnificent little teacup sitting very high up on a shelf in the store. And they just fell in love with it. They thought, that is the most beautiful teacup I had ever seen. We have to have this teacup. While they were admiring the teacup, all of a sudden the teacup began to talk. And it said, you know, I have not always been like this. There was a time when nobody would have wanted me. There was a time when I was not attractive at all. You see, there was a time in my life when I was just an old, hard, gray lump of clay. And the master potter came along, and he picked me up one day, and he began to pat me and reshape me. And I said, stop that. What are you doing? That hurts. Leave me alone. And he simply looked at me with a little smile and said, not yet. And then he put me on this wheel and he began to spin me around and around and around and around. And I got so dizzy, I couldn't even hardly see where I was going. I felt like I was losing it. Everything was spinning around. I didn't know what was going on anymore. I felt sick to my stomach. And I said, let me out of here. And he just smiled and said, not yet. Anybody kind of get the symptoms? Okay. Finally, the day come when I had taken on another shape. All that spinning around finally gave me another shape. And all that padding and molding and squeezing and pinching gave me another shape. And all of a sudden, he put me into a furnace. And it was called the first firing. And it was so hot in there. Oh, I could not believe how hot it was. I thought, I can't stand this. I'm going to die. You have got to get me out of here. Don't you love me? Well, crying, why are you leaving me here? You see, the oven door had glass in it, and the master could look in through the glass, and he just had this big grin on his face and a certain look in his eyes, but he wouldn't let me out. And then he just smiled and simply said, not yet. Finally, the oven door opened, and he took me out. He set me on a shelf, and I thought, phew, thank God that's over. Then he began to paint me all over. We think that, oh, thank God that's over. I finally got that one. Then he began to paint me all over with this stinky paint, changing my color from gray to a pretty blue that I am now. And I said, this stuff stinks. It's choking me. I don't like this smell. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And all he would say is, not yet. Then he put me back into the second oven, and it was called the second firing, and it was twice as hot. And I thought, now I'm really going to die for sure. This is the end of me. This will finish me off. Get me out of here. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I bet this sounds like some of you, maybe even this week. I'm telling you, God, I can't stand it. I mean, really, God, I really can't stand it. Get me out of here. And he would just look through the glass and say, not yet. I don't give up on me. We're just about done here. Then one day the door finally opened and he took me out and he put me up here on this shelf to let me cool off. How do you like that when God puts you on a shelf to let you cool off? And after I cooled off, one day he came by and he handed me this mirror and I looked at myself and I could not believe how beautiful I was and I could not believe how much I had changed. Well, I did not look anything like that old gray lump of clay that I started out to be. Now I'm this beautiful little delicate teacup and everybody wants me now. But there was a time in my life when nobody wanted me, nobody liked me, nobody paid any attention to me. They just kicked me around and walked on me. But now I'm special, but you see, I wasn't always this way. Give God a praise here. Now, I've always had a leaning toward teaching in some way, shape, or form on spiritual maturity. When God called me to teach, I was a person who'd been a Christian for a long time, but I had never really been taught really hardly anything at all about spiritual maturity. I was taught a lot about doctrine. I had good doctrine. I knew about the Trinity, the blood of Christ, communion, and a lot of the things that we learn when we go to church. But I wasn't hearing what I needed to deal with the kinds of problems that I had in my life. And so because of that, I certainly wasn't a very good witness. I really wasn't helping anybody else. And so when I really began to learn the word and I saw what God really wanted to do in our lives, I just had a passion for the Christian who loves God, but just keeps staying in that baby stage of Christianity. And when we're like that, not only can we not really help anybody else, but we're not happy. We're not happy, we're not content, we're not satisfied. We always think there's one more thing that we've got to have to be happy. And Jesus died that we could have and enjoy our life, not so we could just now be a miserable Christian. You know, it's one thing to be a miserable sinner. It's another thing to be a miserable Christian. I think that there should be some kind of a transition that takes place. And you know, God wants us to enjoy our lives. There's no doubt about that. And he wants us to be blessed. But I want everybody to be clear and understand that that's not the only reason why you're on the planet. God doesn't have us here just so we can get everything we want and just so we can be happy and we can have a nice life. We are his representatives in the earth. The Bible says it clearly, that we are God's representatives, and the Amplified Bible says that God is making his appeal to the world through us. Now, every single one of you in this building and everybody watching by TV, I want you to know that you are important to the cause of Christ in the world today. And if there was ever a time in the world, ever a time, and I know that times have been bad in the past. We always say, well, this is the worst things have ever been. And, you know, then sometimes you read some stuff in history and you think, well, I don't know, maybe not. But, you know, things are really bad and more people don't believe in God. More and more people are finding reasons to try to get God out of their life. And so really and truly, we do live in desperate times. But they can also be wonderful times if we'll all just realize I'm not here just for me. I'm here because God wants to do something, yes, for me, but he also wants to do something through me. And in order for him to do something through me, I have to get out of his way. Amen? So, just real quickly, if maybe you've never made that transition from saying, God, I need this, do this for me, give me this, give me that, give me something else. If you've never made the transition from that to, God, what can I do for you? What do you want to use me for? Then how about let's just do a turnaround here tonight and get things straightened out the way that God wants them to be. I love the story of the prodigal son, and you're probably familiar with it if you've been in church very much. But just real quickly, when that boy left home, he wanted his inheritance, and he left saying to his father, give me. Give me. After a trip in the pig pen and realizing what he had given up and what he had at home, he said, I'm going to go back to my father. And when he went back, he said to his father, make me what you want me to be. So we need to go from give me to make me. We need to go from this is what I want to God, what do you want? And I can tell you, you may think that you cannot do without the things that you want right now, but I can tell you if what you want is what God wants, you'll end up with it. But you don't have to spend all your time trying to get it. If you chase God, the blessings will chase you. We all have many, I have things that I want, I have things in my life I don't want, I have things that I don't have that I do want. You know, we all have desires. We all have things that we want. But we have to get things right. Jesus said, I'd rather not do this. If you can remove this cup from me, then remove it from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. So, spiritual maturity. What does spiritual maturity look like? A person who's spiritually mature, what are some of the things that we might see in their lives? Well, first of all, there's a lot of self-control. There's a lot of, God, I want your will in their prayers. They're very careful with their words. They have very disciplined speech. They don't live by their feelings. They have feelings, but they don't let their feelings rule them and control them. Lots and lots of consistency. Not one time, one way you see them, and another time, the next time you see them, and happy when their circumstances are good, and not happy when their circumstances aren't good, just consistency. Lots of generosity. A real spiritually mature Christian, you don't have to try to talk them into giving. They get up every day looking for ways to be a blessing to people. Lots of humility from a spiritually mature Christian. Quick to forgive. Difficult to offend. Now, I'm sure that all of you here have all these qualities and that you don't really need much of this, but I've been in kind of a season lately of God dealing with me about some things. And I told somebody tonight, it's been a while since I've gone through this. I've been walking with God quite a while. And, you know, God deals with us in layers. Sometimes you think that you just really mastered something. And then all of a sudden, God will come along. And, you know, when you might say, well, what do you mean God's dealing with me? Well, one of the things when God's dealing with you is you begin to notice things in your behavior that maybe you didn't pay that much attention to before. So I've been hearing a lot of in my heart, well, that was selfish. Well, you sure didn't need to say that. And it's been kind of going on for a little while, so I'll just tell you the truth. If you don't need this message tonight, I'll be happy to stand here and preach to myself. Because I do need it. And you see, you're going to be growing your whole life. This is not just something where you arrive. The Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived. But one thing I do, it's my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to the things that are ahead. He said, I am determined to take hold of those things for which Christ Jesus died to take hold of me. So he said, Jesus died for us for a purpose, not just so we could go to heaven, but so we could develop Christ-likeness and be molded into his image while we're here, and the world could, he said that he showed the world the Father. Well, now he's given us the job of showing Jesus to the world. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's not just up to somebody like me that's on television or has a large audience. Every single one of you can reach people that somebody like me could never reach. Every single one of you. You know people in your neighborhoods. You know people at your workplace. You meet people all over the place. And if every Christian would just turn the lights on. I don't even know what I mean by that. Just turn the lights on. My goodness, you know what, to tell you the truth, if Christians will stop compromising and stop slipping over into the world and really take a stand to be what God wants them to be, we can see some great things happen in the earth. And so I've always preached along these lines in different ways. I don't preach on the same thing all the time, obviously, but I preach along these lines because I know that If we stay baby Christians, we're not ever going to be happy. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be here, I want to be happy. I mean, if we're going to stay baby Christians, we're never really going to have any peace. You know why? You can't control all your circumstances, and neither can I. So we have to learn, if we can't control our circumstances, that we need to learn how to control ourselves so our circumstances are not ruling us all the time. Amen? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And all of us, as with unveiled face, keep that unveiled face in mind, I'm going to explain that to you, because we continued, stressing continued, to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So God changes us in degrees from glory to glory. And so I told you, God's been dealing with me about just stuff, you know. I don't know. Not probably anything that's going to send me to hell, but just stuff, you know, just things that He wants me to come up higher in. And so what He's doing is He's calling me into another level of glory. You go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Well, usually, well, not usually, always you will have to be dealt with about something. Something that you have to leave behind in order to go to that next place that God has with you. So I'm hoping this weekend that we can help you with the Word of God, move some obstacles out of your path, and just go ahead and make a decision to stop putting some things off and just get on with it and begin to do what God wants you to do.
Oh, those sandpaper people. You just gotta love them. You know, we might as well learn how to receive correction and conviction from God without letting it condemn us. That's the only way that we'll be able to grow and spiritually mature. It's what I want, and I'm sure that it is what you want too. So the best way to do that is to dig into the Word of God. So we have an offer for you today that will be very helpful. This is Joyce's teaching called Spiritual Maturity. It's 3 hours of teaching that digs into all those areas that will help us so much. And it includes what you saw in today's teaching. Along with that, you'll also get the Everyday Life Psalms and Proverbs. This is beautiful. It's a really handy little book just to keep with you whenever you need it, that encouragement, that wisdom from Psalms and Proverbs, and it's also a great gift item for someone else. Now, don't go away. I'll be back after the break to show you a shocking and dramatic change happening in one of America's largest cities. It's something you need to know about.
Learn how to respond to life's challenges, overcome them, and find true joy and happiness with Joyce's 3-CD series, Spiritual Maturity. With this teaching, you'll learn how to grow and develop your relationship with Christ on a deeper level and fulfill all the potential He has for your life. Along with Spiritual Maturity, you'll also receive this beautiful Psalms and Proverbs book from the Everyday Life Bible with notes and commentary by Joyce. These helpful life points and articles will encourage you and help you to apply biblical truths to your everyday life. These resources are available today for your gift of $30 or more. Just visit us at joycemeyer.org or call us toll free at 1-800-727-9673.
Well, I'm sure a lot of you have difficult or challenging things happening in your life. But God wants to renew your strength so you can experience the peaceful and joyful life He has planned for you. In my devotional, Strength for Each Day, you'll find uplifting insights and empowering Bible verses, one for each day of the year. It's your daily reminder that God is your power source, and with Him, you are stronger than you think.
Joyce's newest devotional, Strength for Each Day. Order your copy today.
Can God use a simple concept to help us through life's challenges?
If you can manage to be thankful in every situation, really believing that God has the ability to take that thing and work it out for good, you will end up with a victory every single time.
Experience the power of thank you. It can change your life immediately.
I really want you to get this book on the power of thank you. I believe it's going to add a lot of joy to your life.
Joyce Meyer's The Power of Thank You. Pre-order your copy today.
We were recently in downtown Los Angeles, and it had been a while since I had been there, since before COVID, and I was shocked at the change I saw. Let me show you this, and then I'll be back to share a little more with you.
Los Angeles has long been a city of intense need when it comes to homelessness. But in recent months, the problem has increased exponentially. Tent after tent, makeshift home to individuals and families now cover the sidewalks, block after block after block. But in the midst of crisis, the Los Angeles Dream Center is a beacon of hope, reaching thousands with the love of Christ and a helping hand in the form of food, clothing, shelter, and so much more. Joyce Meyer Ministries' Hand of Hope has been honored to partner with the Los Angeles Dream Center to make this happen for a very long time.
Talk about a season of change. We have certainly been through that with COVID. How did that change the way you were reaching out to people?
Well, honestly, it changed everything in just a moment. We pivoted to a mobile food line. We just opened up our parking lot and we started serving meals. And the first day there were a few cars and the next day there were more. And we did 88 days of 7 days a week, 11 hours a day when the pandemic first started. And throughout the entire pandemic, we served over 5 million meals to people in need.
The Dream Center is one of the largest food banks in all of Los Angeles, reaching 30 to 40,000 people each month with their mobile food trucks and on-site meals.
So right now we're here at the Dream Center and this is our new food pantry line. We do Monday through Fridays. We have community, people in the community and people from campus get to come through. So it's like a grocery store, but it's for free. They get to go through every day. They get to pick 8 items. And if you guys want, we'll walk over this way. I'll show you guys inside the pantry.
All right. That's wonderful. Normally have a good line like this?
Yeah, normally on a good day, we probably do 300 to 400 people during lunchtime.
Wow.
We're doing maybe 1,000 meals per day.
Now, how much has that increased throughout COVID?
Oh, it increased, maybe it doubled since COVID. Yeah, so yeah, everything around here pretty much doubled, the food outgoing, the food incoming, and stuff like that. So this is the pantry. Every day, at the end of the day, this is wiped out. So we have to fill it every day.
Every single
day. So it's one of my jobs trying to find food to fill this every day. But like I always say, God provides. But we give out diverse food. Whatever they want, they get to pick it for free, put it in their bag, and go through the diner and get some free, a good meal. They can either eat inside or they can go outside and sit down and eat.
It's so great.
It's amazing. I love it. I love it. There's always a need and one thing is always food. Can never go wrong. Yeah, so we got McRibs and a cucumber salad today.
It looks so good.
And like I said, everything's absolutely free.
Wow.
Feed them spiritually and fill the bellies, right?
Yes.
I come here today because like it's a big help to get some like pantry stuff. Like, you know, it helped a lot. People right now is in a hardship, so it helped, like, for food and canned goods and supply that we can get is a big help. We need this. Not only for financial, but mental and spiritual support is help. They invite you for the service. They invite you for lunch. Oh, thankful for the management and the people like you guys that help us.
Back here's the storage. So in all the food that we get from our donors or from different churches and stuff, I store back here. I use some here, whatever I can in the kitchen I use. But other than that, we have 30 different churches that come on Monday and Thursday. So we make pallets every Monday and Thursday for them to come pick up food to be able to serve the community. I think right around now, we're pushing maybe almost 1 million pounds of food a month out of here.
Wow.
Jacob Hurley is the director of food services, a position he is well equipped to fill after his own homelessness led him to the Dream Center nearly 5 years ago. He had been paroled from prison and was living on the streets of LA.
I just came up the back stairs and stumbled into this place, didn't even know what it was. Some guys that are here now approached me and asked me if I was needing help. And I was like, well, what is this place? They're like, it's a rehabilitation program, but we rehabilitate through the life of Christ, you know? And I was just like, eh. I ate some food and everything. I ended up falling asleep. And when I woke up the next morning, there was an RA flash of the Bible in front of my face. So I woke up to this Bible. So I'm like, I didn't have a lot of God in my life. I'm starting to trip out, right? But then he goes, this means anyone believes in Christ can become a new person. He goes, are you ready to let go of your old life and the guy you were to become a new man? Because that's the only way it's going to work. And I immediately said yes. And like I said, I spent a lot of time in prison, but I never did good. But when I came here and I felt how good it was to help people and to serve, I knew my gift from God was to serve and to help others. Period. I used to eat off the Dream Center food trucks down on Skid Row. It was a hot dog cart. So after a year or so in the program, I got to drive that hot dog cart right back to where I used to eat off it from and see the people and then finally have the smiles and the joy of being the one giving it to them and talking to them. But my life did go full circle. And working with the guys in discipleship, I know what a hard life is and I know what it takes to become a new person. It's really hard, but being able to be with these guys every day from their mess until something new and watching them transform, how can you not go home happy every day? It's like, I used to go to work, like, oh, I gotta go to work. Now I can't wait. I get up, I get my coffee, and I get here and just watch these lives transform. And it's just not here. It's all over this campus. It's amazing.
You know, we've done food for a long time, over 25 years now, but we never did food quite to this extent. And so it's partnerships like yours. With Joyce Meyer Ministries and Hand of Hope, we were able to accomplish so much. And we are so incredibly grateful for all of our partnerships because that's really what makes the biggest difference. And it was really a team effort, and all of us together really helped feed Los Angeles during a time that they really needed it.
Wow.
Well, obviously the need is great, but never underestimate the power of a warm meal to draw people to Christ. It makes such a huge difference. It's a simple act of kindness that can break down walls and open the hearts of unbelievers to God's love and a new life with Him that they could have never imagined would have been possible. When you see the smiles on people's faces because you give them something that they physically need so much, and then you see how it leads to a spiritual change that changes their life forever, there is absolutely nothing better. We hope that you'll join us in this type of showing the love of Jesus in other places across the United States and all over the world. What a wonderful thing to be part of. And all you have to do is to give a special gift today that will go toward all of our Hand of Hope missions outreaches. So contact us today. Do what you can and be a part of helping people everywhere.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.